And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, once again, and welcome to the final episode of the first season of Murder in Mirabar, here live from the Bard's Bounty at the corner of First and Railroad in scenic Shelton, Washington. As always, we hope that wherever you are healthy and happy, and we do thank you for joining us. We hope that for the next couple hours, we can give you some entertainment and enjoyment. As always, we like to start out by thanking the fine folks at Wizards of the Coast up in Renton, Washington. They open source the Dungeons & Dragons comment and make this all very possible. We also like to thank the fine folks at Discord. All our different players are in their various locales, and Discord is what makes all of this recording and sound and remote work possible. And then if we do go into any combat tonight, we will be doing that with Maps and Minis via Roll20, and we thank them for making their service available free to us all. And of course, to the Bard's Bounty, the cafe at the corner of First and Railroad here in Shelton, Washington, open for takeout and carry out from 11 o'clock to 6:30, Monday through Friday, findable on the web at bardsbounty.com. Well, here we go. We've had almost 60 hours of D&D gameplay and mystery and narrative. The players are all ready to go. We're ready to bring this thing into the harbor, but ooh, there's still a lot to happen between here and there, and so we are ready to go with our final episode of the first season of Murder in Mirabar. All right, when last we left you, folks, after a savage, epic combat in which you had killed Kinzel, almost been dropped by Millivant and his various earth elementals, the Anvil Guard had come in and protected Septimus, we had fireballs flying, we had Last Gate down on the ground two different times making saves, and then finally, Jamez jumping up on the roof and sending various snipers running and flying. And Murder Mead shish kebabbing Kinzel pretty good. Now you are left out in front of the Rose Handle Manor with the trial itself probably starting in about 90 minutes to 2 hours. You have a recently reanimated Varix Koblock, who was killed right in front of you by Kinzel. You have corpses littering the ground and the roof, and a somewhat stunned Septimus, just freed from the makeshift headman's block in the front yard. What are your first actions here, gang?
Ow!
Everything from Kinzel.
Okay. So the first things you're going to find, Rick, he's wearing a very nice cloak. He has two really, really good-looking, obviously somewhat augmented daggers. He also is around his belt, hanging from his belt, he has a single little leather pouch in it that has a damp sponge of some type that has a very interesting odor.
Okay.
It's patchouli.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it is. Oh yeah, that's what he carries around.
Yeah. I figured he was that kind of guy.
Okay.
I just want to pick up the sponge, like walk over to Last Gate and be like, "Does this smell like chloroform to you?"
Would I know what this is?
It definitely doesn't smell healthy. That's probably something you would think that is used to, like, you know, run across a blade before combat or something to give it a particularly nasty after effect.
Well, why don't you like bag that up and hold on to it, and we can probably use it later, okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Don't lick it.
Don't lick it.
I'm planning on it.
All right.
Jam is going to, I believe last time said that he was going to search Millivant.
Millivant doesn't have that much on him. You guys sort of already rifled his office where he keeps most of his things. Nothing, no great wands or staves or anything like that. He does have one very nice ring.
Do you have a spell book?
No, not on him.
Oh,
that's weird.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to have it.
Yamas will take the ring.
Okay. All right, just, yeah, make sure you make a note of that you got Millivant's ring and Rick, that you've got those two daggers.
Daggers, leather pouch.
Septimus is sort of dazed. You can see him kind of, he's sitting on the stoops of his porch. Just, shouldn't we be headed for the trial? I feel like we're running late as it is. I mean, whatever's going to happen, I just as soon get it over with.
Yeah, we'll get there. Give us just a second.
And do not worry, the prosecution will be late as well.
Jamis is going to walk up to Lastgate and put his hand on his shoulder. And he's going to give him 10 points of healing with his healing touch. Early on hands.
Excellent.
Oh, not used
to that. How about that?
I'm not used to it. I'm used to you, like, you know, when you grab stuff, it destroys it. But that's a cool trick. I like that.
Well, on your feet.
Thank you. Third of my health.
But Septimus does have a point. If there is nothing else, we should probably be taking the defendant to the trial as quickly as possible.
We should probably
Agreed.
Take the...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Bodies as well, too.
So
I will carry Kinzel.
Okay, so you're taking Kinzel's dead body.
Yeah,
both. Okay. And Millivant.
Oh, that's right. Are we?
And Millivant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jamez will kind of trot over, grab Millivant.
Yeah.
Throw him over his shoulder.
I think that it would be wise that we take them, because, you know, if anybody has anything against, we can say, hey, these guys just openly attacked us. So what is
happening with Koblock right now? Because he's a little out of it too. He's only at about one hit point.
Shamez picks him up and throws him over his shoulder. Come on, then.
I think I actually gave him a 7 hit point.
Oh, you gave him so, okay,
just
so
to make sure
he's up.
Yeah.
All right. Still probably a little woozy, you know, having been dead and lacerated and
I'm
all. But
still
yes.
Holding on
very recently.
Yet.
Yes.
I'm like,
no, all right. Stop your crying.
Jamez so, like trots in front of everyone. Come on.
Yeah.
Koblock. Assessor Koblock. This is an unorthodox meeting. Can you explain what just happened?
I will explain. Nothing to the likes of you. I have been seized. My person has been laid hands upon. Trust you me. When we get in front of the bench and you must face legal consequences, you will rue the day that you cross the assessor of this city.
Insight check.
Sure.
I want to see if he's just fucking...
Yamez drops
blown it
on
out his ass.
Yeah, roll it up.
Not bad. Insight. That's a 17.
He is enraged and terrified at the same time.
Okay.
I mean, he was literally just killed by a master assassin that he thought he was employing.
Look, Koblock. You know you just died, right? You understand how that works?
Your point?
We brought you back to life. We did you a favor. We could have left you dead, but now you get to enjoy, hopefully, the rest of your existence, however short that might be. Yeah. So, try to think about your next words that come out of your mouth in the company that you're at, because I really don't want to waste Moradin's, you know, capabilities today. I really don't want to have to kill you again.
Let us not threaten the assessor. He has had a very difficult day. It is confusing to us. Up until this morning, obviously, we were adversaries in this matter. But clearly, something has happened to change the situation in the city.
Obviously, that vile wizard pursued his vendetta against me over the matter of his recent expulsion from Mirabar.
But certainly you had no part in that. You were simply put in place in his manner that it would not go unused. Is that not city policy?
And a smile spreads across his face. He leans in close to you, Moradin.
Very clever. You want
I most certainly do not know what you mean.
You wish for me to implicate Mayor Greybeard.
Is there some way that Mayor Greybeard would be implicated? As far as I am aware, he is only aware of this situation tangentially.
You must know that if I were to even hint that the mayor knew of all this, and he didn't, no, I would never walk through the gates of Mirabar again. And may I remind you that if anything happens to me between here and the courtroom, your adversary today will be Greybeard himself.
You mean the Hund?
What sort of word is that? What do you mean? The hind, the hen, what?
Is he lying?
Don't play coy.
Insight him on that one?
Insight yeah.
Check. Oh, let's see here.
Don't even
y'all
check. Just assume he's lying.
Are terrible at tipping our hand.
Let's see, 19.
I mean, he may be playing with you a little bit, but he's not lying that if you kill him, he knows that Greybeard will be the adversary today, and so he is in a bit of the catbird seat.
Oh, I'm well aware. My issue is that as long as I keep him talking and thinking that he's got the drop on us, he's going to let something slip eventually because he thinks he's so superior. But if you guys take a direct route at him, he's going to block up.
Who's got
Have you
Septimus,
never
by the
done
way?
Cross-examination in our... never mind.
Who's got Septimus, by the way?
I think
Septimus
I had...
is just kind of standing there, dazed.
Yeah. I had Coblock and Milibot.
Hey, Septimus.
Septimus?
Yeah.
Can you stand? Can you walk?
Yeah, I can walk. I can. Yeah. In fact, it kind of feels good to be out of the cell.
Right. Let's stretch our legs. Come with us. We'll escort you over there. Okay.
All right.
I got one more healing word. Is he looking kind of rough?
He's looking like he's in more like PTSD shock or something like that than he is. You know, like he was hurt in any way. Yeah.
Sure.
Probably gotcha. got some elemental dirt on him or something like that. But yeah, that's about it. So you guys are going to head back towards town? Is that that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Walking and talking.
Okay, walking and talking. Yeah, you guys are hup-toing. You've got two dead bodies slung over your shoulder. Coblock walking with you, sort of almost he's ready. You can see him kind of mouthing things, running over stuff in his head, running over, okay, and then I point here, and then I'll let the judge, your honor, and he's already sort of getting into character. He's getting ready to rock.
He's like the anti-silver tongue.
Yeah, you will. You would notice a very, very. There's going to be a big contrast in styles between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Assessor Koblock, if you do not mind, you said hypothetically, of course, if you were to implicate certain parties as being involved in this terrible, confusing situation, that you would likely never walk the halls of Mirabar again, but. To our knowledge, it seems that certain parties have already decided to prevent you from doing that. What possible reason would they have for that, assuming that you have been so loyal?
My difficulties with the wizard Millivant reach back several months. Yes, I can hardly blame him for being vengeful over my expelling him from the city and taking over his home. But
was that?
I feel that this was perhaps a bit extreme, and he reaches up and fingers the recently healed scar on his throat where the rapier came through.
Yes, murder, of course, is an extreme reaction to just about anything.
But, as you can see, and he motions up ahead to where the body of Kinzel is slung over Jamez's up and down shoulders as they head towards the town. Justice has been served, and the nefarious villains have been dealt with. Such as is always the case.
I agree. And yes, justice will be served to all that deserve it. So saith Moradin.
Yes. So saith the... Yes. Well,
heresy.
I still find it amusing that you think justice works that way.
Justice, my child, is a hammer. One can use it to shape the world as one sees that it should be. Ah! The gates! Excellent!
Justice is more of a coin, really, than it is a hammer. It's not about how you shape it. It's about how much you have to line the pockets of those in charge.
Ah, so young and so cynical. Well, what did you say your name was again?
Hell yeah.
Yes, well, hell yeah. I have no idea who you have been keeping company with that has put that sort of cynicism in your head, but trust me, there is so much more to the world of politics, power, and law than simple coin.
Now, in my head.
Assessor Koblock, you did mention that you were afraid that something might happen to you between here and the city gates. Thankfully, with us here, nothing has been allowed to pass, but are you concerned that there is perhaps another assassin sent after you?
You can see his eyes sort of dart to both sides, kind of. He hadn't really considered that prospect.
I thought not.
No, I strongly believe that the only entity who wished me harm is currently riding over the shoulders of that somewhat surly and burly dwarf up ahead.
So, with this Millivant character dead, you are confident that we have nothing further to worry about? There is no other interests that would see you silenced for any reason?
Of course not. No. And as we return to the city, I shall once again be at the right hand of power.
As you should be.
Not concerned what might come up during the trial?
I am certain that the truth will out, and he looks you up and down, Murdermead. The truth
shall set you free.
I think we're about to find out what happens when you don't quite hit the anvil where you know you want to. But that's just me.
Well, you guys are able to make it through the gates very easily, and you find the city is abuzz. There are people going back and forth. You would notice there are not a lot of militia troops on, not a lot of Axe of Mirabar troops out, nor are there Greybeard Guard troops as you walk through the streets. There's people walking back and forth, some at a rather fast pace. Looks like there's a lot of buying and selling going on. Obviously, chaos is always in good for some businesses, bad for others. But you are able to walk straight north, straight up the main city drag, and make it to City Hall. Now, you've been into City Hall in terms of Greybeard's office up at the top. You have not been into the Courts of Power. Koblock knows exactly where he's going. He'll walk up, he'll even put a little spring in his step, walk up past Jamez, he will be let straight into City Hall. They'll throw the doors open for him, and instead of going up that stairway that's in the lobby, he takes a sharp turn to the right, and you find yourselves suddenly going through two large double doors of stone into a beautiful marble and stone chamber. There is a gallery on either side that is full of probably 40 to 50 other Mirabar dwarves. And also sitting in the gallery, in the front row, smoking a pipe so large it almost looks like it's a musical instrument, is the big dwarf, Mayor Gustav Greybeard, who actually looks, for once, surprised as the, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of you enter, walking straight down the main aisle. There are three august dwarves dressed in deep robes of green, sitting up at a bench up at the front. And one of them, as the commotion breaks out, As you walk in, I mean, think about it. You guys are walking in holding dead bodies. You have the actual defendant, whom they were probably about to start the trial in absentia. To your right, as you come in, sitting at a small table, is Silvertongue and little Zaro beside him, taking notes furiously. The gallery bursts into, and you hear, "Order! Order! This courtroom will come to order! Who have we here, and what is your business for entering?"
"We are a party of investigators. We were just making sure that Assessor Koblock here was delivered safely to conduct the trial, as well as the defendant, Septimus Rosehandle. We pardon the interruption, Your Honors."
And very quickly, Silvertongue will reach up and get Septimus, sit him down beside him. You know, "Calm down, boy. Oh, calm down." He'll look up at you and give you kind of a nod like, "Good job, lads. Thank you. They were about to get started. This is good. This is excellent." And it's then that Koblock steps forward.
"If it please the court, I shall stand for the prosecution today. In defense, obviously, is an advocate we have yet to hear from in this majestic room, one Tullia Silvertongue. But I believe, if all is in readiness," at which he turns back to Mayor Gustav Greybeard, who gives him a single nod, "then we may begin." And he sits down at a table opposite, on the other side of the aisle.
"Is the defense ready?"
Silvertongue reaches down with kind of a shaky hand. pours himself a small glass of water. Ugh. Reaches up, takes a swallow. Yes, Your Honor. The defense is ready. He stands up. He's going to take one look back at you, Lastgate, just sort of kind of for moral support.
Give him a wink.
You can see he's a little nervous, but he kind of takes his hands that are a little shaky and puts them under his tunic, sort of under the overlay there, so you can't see the hands shaking. And he steps up. Members of the court, it is a barbaric act that brings us here today. The act of murder, and potentially the murder of a father, a clansman, by his own son. But, members of the court, the defense shall prove to you today, conclusively, that not only is this young dwarf, and he points to Septimus, innocent of all charges, but that he, nay, all of us in this room, are victims of a conspiracy that reaches even to the highest levels of government. Now you see, he's starting to get a rhythm going. He's starting to maybe move back and forth a little bit, pace a little bit. Maybe the sweat on his brow isn't just from nerves. Maybe it's starting to be a little bit from exertion. He's a little hypnotic. He's easy to watch, and his voice is mellifluous. We will begin with the idea of a wizard practicing dark magic here, even under our very noses. A wizard that the defense will prove was expelled from this city for evil elemental experiments. Experiments that were designed to create a new workforce to take money from the hard hands of dwarven miners. The defense will prove. And he takes one of your letters, Lastgate, that you found in evidence, and he slaps it down on the table. The defense will prove that he then sought out a great mining family with a very unique mine outside of Mirabar. The defense will then prove that Broadbase Rosehandle, the murder victim, collaborated with this wizard in a scheme designed to upend our entire mining way of life. So horrid was this plan that Rosehandle's own foreman, one Gruntlebane, who, I must point out, is no longer among the living, tied up as just another loose end, went to his friend. The defense will prove conclusively one Seth Kirch, late head of the Miners Guild, who I would also prove is no longer with us, tied up as yet another loose end. How many other loose ends will there be, ladies and gentlemen? How many of us in this room might qualify as a loose end to be eliminated? And then we shall prove. And he turns to the gallery, and there sits Greta, and points at her. Through eyewitness testimony, that Seth Kirch then took his concerns to a criminal conspiracy that saw Millivant and Rosehandle and their scheme as an economic threat. And they decided, as the defense shall prove, and he slaps down another letter on the table,
They had to eliminate him. This criminal conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. Now he's walking back and forth throughout the court. This criminal conspiracy would be bad enough if it only involved coin, legalities, bribery. But we shall prove today through, and he turns and looks at Moradin, holy vow testimony that this conspiracy reaches up to the highest levels of our city government. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the court, what we stand here to adjudicate today is not a simple trial of murder. No. We sit here today to decide what kind of Mirabar we wish to live in, what kind of Mirabar we wish to bring up our young children in. A city of justice. A city where all are equal under the law. Or a city in which those with the most have free rein and make all the rules that the rest of us must sweat and slave under. Members of the court, this concludes my opening statement. The defense stands ready.
I, like, get behind Koblock really fast and just be like, oh, you sure you're on the right end of the hammer?
Cool.
Actually,
nudge last gate. Rick, told you it was the coin.
Rick, make an insight check to Koblock after that.
Oh God. Okay.
You got this, Rick.
Oh, do I? It sounds like you a perception check.
No. Guidance?
Is that yes or no for guidance?
Did he give it to you? Yeah, I'll give you guidance before the roll.
Nice.
Oh, that's still terrible.
No, it's good.
is it? What's my problem roll? Because I'm looking at a 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, he seems a little shakier than he did before. Hard to tell why. But okay. He definitely... The Morden talking about, do you have anything else to fear? Silvertongue's opening statement. That evidence on the table and Greta there that he didn't know he was going to have to deal with today. And he is very, very definitely not turning around and meeting Greybeard's eyes. As he rises... maybe pulls at his collar a little bit. Members of the court, members of the court, members of the court, in light of this new evidence that has been presented by the defense, which, by the way, I would like to protest that the prosecution has not had time to examine, as is proper. In light of these new facts and evidence, the prosecution at this time wishes to drop all charges. The defendant is relieved of any further responsibilities to this court. At this time, the prosecution rests. And the courtroom explodes into just all sorts of chaos. People in the
galleries are back and forth. You can see Septimus just deflates at the table. It's over. It's over. Doing. Ooh, give me a perception check.
Oh, God.
That's who I'm looking. Can I join? I'm looking at him.
You may.
I'm also following the group to watch Greybeard.
My God.
I think we all turn around and look at him.
He does not move. He shows no reaction of any kind. Septimus is reaching up and shaking Silvertongue's hand. Silvertongue turns back around to you guys, gives you the big thumbs up. It's just chaos. And
can I?
Yeah, sure.
Can I step forward?
Absolutely.
I'm waiting. I'm just going to wait till everything kind of dies down.
Yeah, there's gavels banging. Order! Order! This room will come to order! Order! Starts to calm down. Then you see Greybeard lift a hand. The doors at the end of the courtroom, the far end opposite the judges, slam open. And walking straight down the center come 12 Greybeard Guard members.
Oh, crap.
Pikes held high. And they basically split up so that they are 6 and 6 facing the gallery. All the various different dwarves just in the galleries are absolutely silent. Yeah. And you hear the mayor's deep voice.
I would like the Greybeard Guard at this time to clear this court. I wish to speak to the witnesses myself.
And then you hear, back at the back doors, I don't think so. And walking in come another 12 dwarves. These in a different insignia. These looking very, very lean, very, very slick, with military-grade precision, led by Captain Clawhammer. But they are not Axe of Mirabar. They are a different color uniform that you've never seen before, kind of a grayish green, but you would notice that on all their lapels, on all their little up here by the chest, they wear an insignia that you've only seen once before. For all you knew, there was only one. It is the pin of the Hammer of Moradin crossed with the axe. They are well-armed with beautiful blades, and Moradin, you would notice that there is, coming off of them, a little bit of an empowered light. A little bit of a holy light, almost. And they take up positions exactly opposite the Greybeard Guard.
Well, what have we here? Says the mayor.
Do you like them? Little something that Father Hammerhead and I have been working on. We call them the Iron Order. They're a new order rising up here in Mirabar. Both of the Axe of Law and Order and the Temple of Moradin. Our finest men, ready to stand for justice wherever it is being threatened. There's only one thing. As they're not technically Axe of Mirabar, they can't be under my command. I'm the captain of the militia. And he's walking along the gallery at this point in time. And as they're not just holy men, they're not under strict control of the temple. And he stops directly in front of Jamez. The only thing they're lacking is a commander. They need somebody who understands what it's like to be full of a little bit of holy zeal. But they could also use a little bit of Reaper in them, too. And he reaches out his fist to Jamez, opens it up, and inside is a gold-plated version of the same pin, the Hammer of Moradin crossed with the Axe of Mirabar. What do you say, soldier? Think it's about time maybe you came out of the peanut gallery and got into the real game? They're good men.
Jamez stands up. I'm guessing he's much taller than Hammer or Clawhammer.
Yeah, Clawhammer's a tall guy, but yes, Jamez is pretty big.
He looks at him quietly for a moment. He takes Clawhammer's hand and shakes it, grabbing the lapel. And pins it to his collar. I've never been one much for leading. But in the time with these gentlemen and Helia, I've learned that everyone can change, and that change is sometimes for the best. I accept your offer, Captain.
The Iron Order turn as one. Pop the tips of their halberd upon the ground so that it echoes throughout the courtroom. Give you a salute. Well, Clawhammer said, I feel like we've just changed the math in this room. Mr. Mayor, if you would like to order your troops out, I'm sure we will do the same. And we're going to clear this gallery for the safety of all those involved. Absolutely. The mayor says, again, no sense of emotion from him, no sense of being beaten. Yes. Why don't we clear the courtroom? Oh, but if I could keep the fine members of Last Gate Investigations for a moment. I think we need to have a word in private.
We actually have plans. I don't know about the rest of them, but...
He sits back, takes a big puff on his pipe. It's not a request. The guards of the Iron Order start to file out. Reluctantly, the Greybeard Guard turn on their heel, march out, military precision. The rest of the dwarves in the galleries make themselves scarce very quick. Silvertongue and Septimus make their way to your sides. Lads, I'll be back at my office. We've done a great thing here today. Trust me, but you watch yourself with this one. All right? And Septimus comes to you, Last Gate. I don't know what to say. I owe all of you everything. If you ever need anything from me, you just have to ask. Everything Rose Handle is at your disposal.
Take off my hat for the first time ever. and I take off my necklace with my symbol of Avandra on it, and I hand it to him.
Oh, that's very nice. I can't see. This is something that's precious to you. I can't take it.
I whittled it on the side of a road. I can make another one.
Yes. Well, I suppose what I said in that cell a few days ago is true. When you're wealthy, you don't always know who your real friends are, because you're wondering who is just interested in what you can do for them. But I feel like I don't have to worry about that with you folks. Thank you very much. And Silvertongue very quickly pulls Septimus and Zorro from the room, leaving the five of you alone in the courtroom, sitting and looking at Mayor Gustav Greybeard, who has not moved, who has not done anything but sit quietly and smoke.
So
that's where we're going to take our intermission. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be back with you with Act 2 in just a second. But before we do that, we do want to take one last time here, as our first season is drawing to a close. And we do want to, one more time, maybe raise your awareness a little bit, get you to check out a wonderful organization that we've been talking about called stackup.org, stackup.org. And this is a terrific organization that uses gaming to help raise the morale and help out military, whether they are current military, deployed forward in the field, deployed here at home, whether they are veterans. These are people who do wonderful things like send care packages of video games and board games abroad to different units. They also fly veterans to various gaming conventions, which we are going to have them again. There's going to be gaming conventions again someday, folks. And these people get them there so that they can experience a broader community. There's all kinds of research out there that shows that gaming actually helps, that it raises morale, that it gives a sense of belonging, and that it also helps with things like stress, PTSD, all those sorts of things that veterans struggle with when they come back into civilian society. And perhaps most importantly, they have the Overwatch program, which is 24/7 available counseling via Discord. And if you are a veteran or if you are active duty and you feel like you need somebody to talk to or play a game with or do whatever, if you're feeling a little bit alone, don't wait till you are at the depths of despair. If you just need somebody to talk to, get some things off your chest, or maybe play a little Call of Duty with, these guys 24/7 can hook you up with counseling. They can help you manage all sorts of things from the VA system all the way through, and hopefully provide a sense that you are not alone going through whatever you're going through. If you would like to find out more, if you would like to find out how you could do things like volunteer for the Overwatch program, if you would like to donate financially, if you would like to donate video game equipment and old video games that you've played out and you think could be really used by a terrific military base somewhere, all you got to do is go to their website, stackup.org, stackup.org, and you can find out about all this stuff. And we want to thank them for letting us talk about them and having them be part of this, our first season of Murder in Mirabar. And at this point, we're going to take a quick intermission, and then we are going to be back to finish it all up. We'll be right back. And we return. And so now, in the empty Hall of Justice, in City Hall in Mirabar, the five of you stand in the middle of a courtroom. Maybe there are even some chairs knocked over from the fast exit. The doors down at the far end, the only way in and out, it looks like, are shut. And sitting in front of you, he is truly enormous, is the mayor of Mirabar, Gustav Greybeard, who sits with that pipe, drawing in breath, blowing out. So, once again, no good deed goes unpunished. Mercy. That was my mistake. I should have listened to my instincts that told me to eliminate your little band back at the beginning of all this. But then, as it turns out, I would have suffered a loss for that as well. No matter. Here we are. Look at you. You've uncovered a dastardly plot to disrupt the mining industry of Mirabar. The livelihood of hundreds of honest, hard-working dwarves. This city is in your debt. Not only that, but you've taken down a cold-blooded killer roaming the city and kept an innocent young dwarf from the headman's axe. What do you have to say for yourselves? You must be quite proud.
It's not done yet.
Not done? How do you mean? We are, I assure you, quite done.
No. You see, I don't know about the rest of my friends who have joined on this endeavor. Risked our lives and some of us almost died for it. But where I come from, when you get a job, you finish it all the way.
Oh, I assure you, your job is finished. Look, you have found the killer and administered a swift and bloody justice, I see. No, I think I've given you all I can spare in terms of manpower. We are quite definitely finished.
And tell me why you have wanted to speak with us in private so eagerly.
Oh, curiosity. Maybe even a little bit of humor. Ennui. You're right, we are at a certain ending point. And all this began so beautifully. A year and a half ago, actually. With the annual Mayor's Tour to visit the various mines. As well as take a swing through the western hills to visit the birthplace and family. No doubt you saw that in my book that you managed to get your hands on. And it continues. How delicious that you fancy yourselves investigators, revealers, uncoverers, and yet you, like everyone else, remain blind to what is constantly in front of your face. Lastgate Give me an investigation check.
Guidance?
You may give guidance.
Well, that would be a 19, but I'm going to use my luck.
Uh-oh.
To get higher than 19?
Yes. I'm very confused.
Or lower.
Okay. And just because I can, I'm going to use that guidance. So that's a 3 on top of a 6 on top of a natural 20.
Oh, God. Frickin' important role.
Divination wizards, right?
Lucky is what it is. That's just straight from the book, my friend.
29. Last gate, as you sit and watch, it suddenly sparks in your mind that you have been in this mayor's presence a couple of times now. And you have yet to smell the distinct smell of pipe tobacco.
As I'm giving him a once over, I'm going to reach up and just pull the iron shard out of my bag. And I'm going to gently twist it in my palm and cast Dispel Magic.
Your spell seems to go forward and hit something like a brick wall. But there was, make no mistake, magic in play. It was like you spit at a dam. It provokes laughter. Make no mistake. I have plans for Mirabar. Great plans. And no one, not the stout militia captain, or some devoted priest and whatever new scheme they have cooked up between them, nor the skulking Zintarum, nor the harpers in the shadows, nor some justice-crazed advocate, nor that wealthy elven bloodsucker in his tower. Certainly not the five of you are going to get in the way.
All that bluster.
You have seen so much of us. You have looked into every one of our pasts. You've tracked every footstep we've made, every decision we've done, seen everything. And you still haven't learned a damn thing about us, have you?
Well, I suppose the best way to learn about someone is under pressure. In the space of a heartbeat, of half a heartbeat, in the lub of lub-dub, for just a second, you are crushed. It feels like you are pushed back against the wall, pushed down into the floor. There is a presence in the room there is not enough space for. Nothing changes in front of your eyes. You still stand there looking at the mayor, but for a moment there is a colossal presence in the room taking up all the space. Just when you think it's going to break every bone in your body, in the second half of the heartbeat, it's gone. And you can breathe again. And there he sits, blowing a little smoke.
Now, I owe you a debt for the life of my purest heir. So I am going to allow you to walk out of this courtroom today. But after that, we are settled. And if I ever find myself at cross purposes with Lastgate investigations in the future, I will not make the mistake of mercy again.
So, let me get this straight. You come to a dwarven city. You take reins of power and you basically find out everything you possibly can about these people, how to control them, manipulate them, use them, call it what you will. And then I gesture to my companions behind me. Have you not yet understood that we're dwarves and we're very stubborn? Just remind yourself of that.
Yes, the stubbornness of dwarves. Well, I suppose, for the sake of those who would like this city to stay just the way it is, they should hope that Lastgate investigations will be around for some time. To what? Preserve all that is good in modern day Mirabar. Good day, citizens. And with a wave of his hand, the doors at the far end swing open. And you are being allowed to go in peace.
Morden is going to do exactly that.
Give him a bow. Until we meet again. And I turn.
As Yamas goes to walk out, he says to the mayor, even if Lastgate Investigations isn't around, you can bet that I will be. And he walks out.
I'm just going to look at him, shake my head a little bit, and like just start walking out and just be like, why do we always pick fights with the strongest creatures in the lands?
You know, the Harpers, we're always up to, you know, the greater good.
No snide comment. Just out the door.
Where are we headed?
I don't know. How fast and how far can Morden get to anywhere else?
Are you scared?
Don't think you guys properly appreciate how fully outclassed we are.
The interesting thing is, as you come out of the courtroom, it is a beautiful day outside. The sun is shining on the snow. You've saved an innocent dwarf from the headsman's axe. You can sort of breathe the unhunted fresh air for the first time in a while. And yes, you know, the night is coming on, but it's hard to believe that 2 weeks ago, you were tasked with what seemed like an almost impossible case. And now, hey, almost feels like it's a new day. So where are we going?
Bar.
Jarvis is gonna treat his men to a bar, to drinks at the bar. His,
I say we
his
all
newfound
just
found people.
Sit down together.
Okay. Does that mean we're headed back to the Ram's Horn, or what are we doing?
Yeah, I think
let's go where
Ram's
we
order.
Started.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'll go back to the tunnels. Bye, guys.
No, no. Like, let's all go get a drink where we started this.
So you
the
head
Ram's Horn or the Pitted Axe?
The Ram's Horn is where Zaro came in and found you.
Yeah.
Where
it kind of began, you know.
As you walk through the streets, you get to the Ram's Horn. Interestingly enough, there are no patrons in it. And
so Pitted Axe.
Well, no, it's open. It's wide open. And actually, the proprietor lady is behind the bar, and she's packing up. She's throwing things in a big bag. She's sort of whistling.
Whoa. What's going on? What's going on?
Oh, sweetie. Good to see. Well, my goodness, of course you'd be showing up today, wouldn't you? Congratulations. Oh, and I can't thank you enough. I'm going to be able to go down, see my sister in Waterdeep. Her health is a little bad, you know. I must admit, this comes a bit out of the blue, but I am in your debt.
What? What?
Well, here. Everything's in this envelope.
She puts an envelope on the bar. Looks like it has some documents in it. Yes, the lad came in, said that this bar, the Ram's Horn, has been purchased by the Rosehandle family, and everything's now in your name. Congratulations, lad. I mean, you know, do be careful a little bit. There's some squeaky boards on the stairs. Somebody's going to fall through those one day. I'd shore those up a little bit before you're looking at a court before the advocacy. But it's quite a generous price, and like I said, I've been looking to get out of town and down south a little bit. Good for my joints, you know. And
as she's talking, I open it up. What exactly does it, like, to who is it? Information.
So,
Lastgate Investigations.
Give me kind of, you know, minute specifics.
The Ram's Horn has been deeded over to you. Looks like, as you can see through these documents, Septimus has bought it with some of the Rosehandle family money. He is incredibly wealthy, you know. And he has deeded it with all five of your names upon the deed. You are the proud owners of a tavern.
Without letting anybody else read it, for now, I turn to Rick.
Oh.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
So, can you do me a favor?
Oh, that depends on what it is.
Can you serve drinks?
Only to myself.
Because we own the place.
Why?
All of us.
I don't listen to anything he says after that. I just go straight to the taps.
You can start pouring yourself stuff. There's a selection of beautiful ales, and there's also the cheap stuff that you realize, hey, they've been serving us the cheap stuff.
He just Homer Simpsons it to the barrel.
Yeah.
There's a bottle of liquor under the bar, as I recall.
Oh, there's a bottle of very nice liquor under the bar. There's all sorts of, and of course, there's the food stores in the pantry. Now, you don't have anybody to work it right now, and I hope somebody knows how to cook, but
I'll go grab some pints, and
some
I'll
pints
hand
and
them
stores.
Out. Yeah, and I'll hand them out to everybody.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you guys are going to have definitely some planning and staffing to do, assuming that you want to keep this place up and running and opening. But as she gives each of you a little hug and maybe a little peck on the cheek to Moradin, she says, well, dearies, I'm off at the next caravan. This has been wonderful, and I bless the day you walked in my door. Thank you so much.
Before you go.
Yes, Medea.
That caravan, it's going south to Waterdeep, right?
Yes, it's the there's one that leaves every day. Yes, how do you think the shipments get back and forth between the major cities? We'll be there in about
probably a week and a half.
I'm gonna look at the guys.
You stay with us one more night. Give us one more. I'll make it worth your while.
All right.
And to you, thank you for your hospitality in the past, and may bountiful luck shine upon your path.
Oh, isn't he a sweet one? Yes,
hey, girls, Anya.
But listen, running a place like this is no picnic. Remember, you never know who or what is going to walk through that door. Good day, dearies.
Goodbye.
Know who we should hire.
We've got a couple of people in mind.
We've got an entire workforce.
Look, I go over and I shut the door. Is there a key in the envelope, too?
Yes, there is, in fact.
I lock the door.
Okay.
Turn around, look at everybody.
Why don't we have a sit down and a proper drink? Just us. All by ourselves here. All the barrels we can drink.
That's a terrible proposal. You should know that.
Rick, grab the good shit.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, Rick, indeed, grab the good shit.
I take stock of what is here. Like I get.
Oh, there's some. It runs a wide range. Again, like any good bar, you know that food is how you make your expenses. Alcohol is where you make your profit. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a wide range for you to sit down. You can have the good stuff up from the south. There's meads from the western hills. There's even fine grapes from the Moonshae Isles that have been pressed into beautiful, beautiful claret. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. It just, you do want to think probably, there's maybe a little part in the back of your mind that wants to think about drinking your profits too much.
We get one celebratory drink, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but like top shelf, I don't know what's here. Just a round for everyone.
Yeah.
Here you go. This is my specialty.
I'm going to wait till everybody's sitting around.
I believe we are sitting.
I wanted to, if you guys had anything else you wanted to do, I didn't want to interrupt.
Morden,
take a drink and she'll settle.
Okay.
Morden is going to start pulling out sheets of paper, which upon closer inspection appear to be receipts, invoices, and a number of pay statements.
That was one thing I was going to get to. So, first of all, thank you, all of you. We went through a lot. We went through a hell of a lot. Some of us through some personal complications, and others kind of just drank their way through it.
Are you looking at me when you say that?
No.
Okay.
More of a metaphor. But I think we did something really good here for the people of this city. And we're going to be remembered for a long time. Even you, Helia.
Oh. Yay.
Look, it's been a real honor, okay?
Oh, well, You're welcome, I guess. And I suppose at this juncture in our professional relationship, I can say it's been the same.
Oh, geez, there goes everybody getting mushy.
You four have been a pain in my neck since I laid eyes on any of you.
And you fucking love us for it.
I could not have done it without you.
And Yamez. Congratulations.
Oh.
No, really. You have been bestowed something that is every dwarf's dream. I'm impressed. Although that means...
A tavern?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
It's true.
I guess...
my dream.
I guess our next move is... besides the tavern, which... I mean, obviously we've got to find some people to work for it. And I've got a few names I'll pitch out here in a second. But, you know, I was kind of thinking... Because we went through so much... And we're going to have some extra money to... Obviously, we want to maybe take a break, a couple of weeks to settle in or go somewhere else, you know, just to take a vacation, a holiday. I was thinking maybe... well, actually, I should ask first. Helya. How good of a cook is your wife?
Oh, no. I'm not bringing her up here.
Oh, no.
I know.
I meant going down to Waterdeep with you.
Shit, you have better luck getting me to bring her up here.
Either way.
You really want me to host you?
Why not? I'll give us some time to get out and do our thing. I mean, we don't all have to go, you know, mind you. Your own little thing. I mean, if Rick wants to stay and do stuff here, I mean, Yamez has got some responsibilities to do, depending on if he has to stay right now. I mean, in fact, we could take the whole damn guard down.
Isn't that something that she should be offering you, not the other way around?
Well, she mentioned going towards the deep earlier. She had the notion of wanting to go, and I have never been there. And my brother talked about it a lot in his travels.
Not sure we were invited.
It was... I think you missed my point, Yamez. I just thought it'd be nice to accompany her down to see her wife. That doesn't mean I have to see her myself.
Oh, gosh. It's been a long time since I've been home. Truth be told, it might be a little easier to have someone with me.
All right, so why don't we get stuff straightened out here? Take a couple of weeks to do that, settle in, and then go and find something else to get ourselves into. Because I can't stay in one place. It's just not who I am.
I can't stay here anymore.
No, you cannot.
No.
You're both very strange dwarves.
And you're the one who wields a flaming hammer, so...
That is right and proper.
Look, to each his own. We've saved each other asses enough that I think it's normalized by now.
I think we should get to the real order of business.
What was that?
Now that the bar is ours, we have to choose a new name.
We could spitball some ideas, yeah?
But, the flailing flagon.
Alliteration, I like that.
But
the drunken dwarf.
Who are we going to have run it?
The Bard's Bounty.
That, right there.
You like that one?
That's a good one. I like that a lot.
I don't know. If I'm quite honest with you, I feel like you're pandering to a god.
I am always pandering to a god.
I have to agree on that one, though, that that's a damn good name.
And Rick pours another round for everybody.
as you toast. So you sit to drink at the newly acquired inn. The town is buzzing with news of the trial and the acquittal. And as your, well, I guess now quintet, lifts pints as the sun goes down on the northern city, you drink and you perhaps think about how much more complex this place is than you knew it was just 2 weeks ago. Down beneath your feet, in the catacombs below Mirabar, are Foss and the Zhentarim crawling back into their old haunts, beginning to reestablish their networks here. And yes, what does that mean for Helya? In the merchant's quarter of town, a halfling antique dealer draws the blinds on the night, locks the doors, and settles down with a cup of tea and a very interesting date book that he has reproduced from his photographic memory, as a grandfather clock ticks away in the background. In another shop down the street, a dwarven armorer who has made quality work for generations of his family sadly hammers a sign on his locked door that simply says, "Closed. Thank you for 50 years. In the bowels of the Temple of Moradin, the members of the new Iron Order spar and train under the watchful eyes of Captain Clawhammer and Father Hammerhead. Perhaps they glow with a little holy light the harder they work. Across the street, Greta bangs the gavel, and an assembly of dwarven miners pipe down and listen as she reads the minutes of the last meeting and calls to order her first meeting as the new head of the Mirabar Miners Guild. In his mansion outside the city, Septimus Rosehandle sits in front of a roaring fire, puts down a glass of brandy, and looks up at a tall portrait of his father over the fireplace. Perhaps he wonders what is written in stone and what can be avoided. And how much are we doomed to be the sons of our fathers? In a high tower near the northern wall of Mirabar, a beautiful, sad creature of the night watches the moon rise, holding a withered orchid in his hand, and smiles contentedly as he looks across the rooftops to the edifice of City Hall and imagines he sees a curl of smoke emerging from the uppermost windows there, where someone, or something, else sits brooding and planning. Planning. Yes, Mirabar is so much more complex than any of you realized just 2 weeks ago. And you're all considering that when the door to the Ram's Horn slams open. A breathless Zorro, the halfling, runs in and sees you and careens over to your table, and he grabs Lastgate by the arm.
You have to help me. You have to help me, he cries.
Whoa.
It's Master Silvertongue. He's been kidnapped.
A fucking course.
Oh, you're fucking joking.
I don't think we're getting paid.
That's why we gotta rescue him now.
What?
I down my drink, grab my satchel,
fucking go home,
and grab Helya by the arm and pull her with me.
Hold on, hold my drink. She tries to chug it before she's hauled out.
Y'all miss, bring a cup with us for this one.
And the five of you head out into the night in hot pursuit of Zorro as he runs off through the snow. And that's where we're going to end our first season, ladies and gentlemen. We want to thank you so much for listening. It's been almost 60 hours of D&D, and I'd like to do something a little different right now. If I could just go around the cast, and I'd like each person, just if you could just introduce yourself and say what character you play, give our audience a sense of the people behind the voices. Jess, maybe you would start. Tell us who you are and who you played.
Hi, I'm Jessica Seek. I just saluted the camera. You can't see that, but I play Helya Holbrecht.
Excellent. James?
James Hatchett. I play Morden. That just Morden gave up his family name. The devout cleric.
And Nathan?
Nathan Heisey. I played the stunning James Howlett.
Excellent. Daniel?
I'm Daniel Kowalski. I play Morik Murdermead, the drunken rogue.
And Caleb, of course.
Caleb Collins. I play Ingris Ramius Lastgate, the divination wizard.
Excellent. And I've been Joel Underwood. I have been your DM and narrator for this first season. We want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to what we've been doing here. As always, we hope that you are healthy and happy wherever you are. We hope that we've given you some entertainment. We hope that we've given you something that you can enjoy, whether you're a D&D fan or not, whether you're just listening because you find the story entertaining. We hope that you will join us again. We're going to take a week off, come back in a couple weeks. I want to make sure I've got my A game ready for these guys for season two. But we hope that you will see fit to join us next time as we begin a whole new adventure with these same characters that you've come to know and love, but a whole new adventure, season two of Murder in Mirabar. Thank you, everybody.